When we think we know how we're to personally answer the call to care, we must address our why, our motivations. Some motivations can be anything but healthy or helpful, and they can not only cause us to misinterpret how we can best answer the call to care, they can create expectations that adversely affect a child in life-changing ways. We'll talk about expectations in the next chapter, but let's first look at the risk of a call misunderstood. A call misunderstood. Here's an account of how one couple thought they understood how they were to answer the call to care, but then struggled before learning how they could best serve. Greg and Cassandra knew they were called to care, but as they moved through the paperwork to become foster parents, they began to feel guilty about not being as excited about their fostering journey as the friends in their small group seemed to be about theirs. Their first placement was difficult. The two young boys came with nothing, requiring a trip to buy basics such as pajamas, socks, underwear, and school clothes. Greg was out of town for the first few days while Cassandra, who worked from home, struggled with caring for the kids and meeting her deadlines. She became frustrated and impatient, lashing out at Greg when he returned from work. The boys were upset and angry. Their rage-filled outbursts were followed by periods of sobbing and clinging to each other and Cassandra. They were constantly in what their counselor called a state of fight or flight, hyper-alert to any signs of danger. Cassandra found cookies, fruit, and even chewing gum hidden in their closet. Because they had experienced hunger so often, they felt they needed to ensure food would always be available. It was not that Greg and Cassandra didn't love the boys, they did, and they cared for them well while these hurting children were in their home for 2 weeks. But they didn't have the sense of satisfaction they thought they'd have. They thought they should be excited about the next placement, and they felt guilty because they weren't. They met with their foster care counselor to talk about how their first placement went. When they told her about their guilt and unhappiness, she asked them why they chose to foster. They admitted it had been at the prodding of their small group. The counselor helped them see that the call to care doesn't always mean the call to foster or even adopt. There are other ways to care. Now Greg and Cassandra gladly provide meals for fostering friends, financially support Christian Family Services agencies, and pray daily for children in foster care. They're thrilled to know they're exactly where God wants them to be, caring for vulnerable children by helping those on the front lines. Everyone who answers the call to care must determine if their motivations are leading them to a narrowly defined answer not meant for them. The motivation to help vulnerable children and families in a specific way can be based on anything from pure love to personal giftedness, from misplaced desires to a genuine desire to serve, from guilt to peer pressure. Consider these three scenarios. 1. A couple was grieving their infertility, having experienced years of unsuccessful procedures and 2 miscarriages. They decided to adopt because they thought a child would give them the family they wanted and assuage their feelings of loss. 2. A family lost a child to illness, and they decided to adopt a child to fill the hole in their hearts. 3. Several families in a couple's church prodded them to foster to adopt as they had. They already had several birth children, but they decided to foster a child out of peer pressure and guilt, to assuage their feelings of loss, to fill the hole in their hearts, out of peer pressure and guilt. These reasons could lead not only to disappointment and confusion for the parents.